My name is Christina Frazier. I am 38 years old. Today is Wednesday, November 25th, 2020, and I'm speaking with Catherine Jankowski, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Tell me a little bit about yourself. When and where were you born?
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, a part of Boston called Brighton, at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in 1953.
Can you tell me about where you grew up? What was it like?
I grew up in Brighton, and as I said, it's a part of Boston. And it was a few houses actually down from where my mother grew up, and her mother still lived. So I lived very close to my grandmother.
Was it nice to live close to your grandmother?
It was very nice. We went to visit her every day. She didn't necessarily let us in every day, but we came to the door, and we would say, "Hi, old Grammy," and she would come to the door with candy in her hands and give us a piece of candy and pretty much say, "Have a fun day. Goodbye."
That's interesting, because my children also see their grandmother every day. It's very similar.
And I think it's a good thing for kids to see their grandparents.
I think so, too.
As a grandparent.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your parents? Do you remember a time when you felt particularly close to either of them?
Well, I don't have very clear memories of my father because he died when I was 6 years old. I do have a couple of memories. It's not like nowadays when everything is on video and there are instantaneous pictures. So I have to rely on my memory for this. But he had a truck. He was a roofer. And he would give me a ride to kindergarten in his truck. And I thought I was very special because I got a ride in a big giant truck to school every day. But I don't really have a lot of memories of him. My mother, on the other hand, who was really both mother and father, I was very close to her.
Do you think you were closer to her than your other siblings?
Yes, I definitely do. I mean, I had 7 brothers and sisters, but even though my mother always said she didn't have a favorite child, I do believe I was the favorite child in my family.
Is that why she named you after herself?
No, that's not why. She did not name me, first of all. My father did, because she was not going to name any of her children after herself. But he insisted that as the third daughter, fourth child, I was going to be named after his wife.
Why do you think you were so close to her?
Well, one of the reasons I think I was close to her is because I admired her. Even from a very young age, I thought, this lady is a very strong person doing everything herself. Even at a very young age, I knew that. I could see that. She was strong, but she was also very hilarious. She was very funny. She had a phenomenal sense of humor, and I appreciated that, and it made it fun to be around her.
Did she ever complain or remind you that she had to work so hard to take care of all of you?
Oh, yes, she did. Oh, she certainly did. She would always say, don't forget, it's 1 against 8. She had 8 children, and she was the leader of the pack, so to speak. She was very strict, and some of my siblings didn't exactly appreciate that. I, on the other hand, was a goody-two-shoes, so I didn't mind it.
Do you think that your parenting style is similar to your mother's?
I co-parented with my husband, and I did not grow up seeing that. So I don't think I was as strong as she was. I think that I always kept it in the back of my head that I could be just like her and be strong, but I did have that father figure in my children's lives so that I didn't have to do everything myself. So I think that probably I wasn't as strong as her.
Do you think you were as strict as her?
I think she was stricter, even though my children think I was like a prison warden. I don't think I was as strict as she was. I mean, we couldn't watch television on a school night. We had very strict times to be in for dinner. If you were supposed to be home at 5, you better be home at 5. I wasn't that strict with my children. If you didn't follow the rules, you could be ostracized by the other members of my family. I never did that to my children, even though they probably wanted me to.
Do you remember a time when you made her angry?
I do remember once when I really made her angry, or actually twice. Once, I sprayed Lysol into my brother's face because, I don't know, just because I saw it there and he was bothering me. I got in big trouble for that. And another time when my brother and I, my partner in crime, went into this abandoned building and we came out of that building covered in paint because it was an artist studio or something, and we were covered in paint. And she was really, really mad at me. And I don't really remember her being mad at me like that other than those two times.
Which brother was it?
That was my younger brother, David. He was a year younger. And he would always do things that I would never even think of doing. But somehow he reeled me in with them. And I guess I was not a leader. I was a follower.
Was she mad because you were covered in paint or because you broke and entered into a building?
We didn't even know anything about breaking and entering. We were very young. I was probably 8 years old. He was probably 7. The door was open. We walked in. I would never have gone into that building. It was only a few houses away from us. I would never have gone into that building except where he was encouraging me to explore. I can remember her taking a Brillo pad and trying to get the paint off of us. Ah, that hurt. That really hurt. And she meant it. She wanted it to hurt.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest childhood memories?
My happiest childhood memory would probably be every single Christmas. My mother had to, of course, be a huge penny pincher because we were not on welfare. We were brought up on Social Security benefits. And every single thing that she spent money on, she had to make sure that that was money well spent. So Christmas, we could have been looking at the most bleak Christmas ever because she wouldn't give you a nickel throughout the year if you were begging for it. But at Christmas time, I don't know how she did it, but I guess she had help with my grandmother and my aunt living down the street. She made it. But somehow she made our Christmases absolutely ridiculously magical. We would have every single thing that we wanted. It was crazy. And of course, she had scraped and saved all year to do that. It was awesome. Wrap things. I know she was up all night. I can't remember. I can remember a couple of times when she misplaced something. And on Christmas morning, she'd be frantically going through wrapping paper, thinking, where is this? Where is this? And we didn't know what she was doing. But she inevitably forgot one thing. One year it was Barbie doll. We got all these Barbie clothes, but no Barbie doll. And she found it, and then she said, oh, Santa must have left this so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, I believed way too long. I believed way too long because I couldn't believe that she was responsible for that.
how old were you when you stopped believing?
Seriously? I was about 12. Because I couldn't believe that my mother would do that. Never mind that she could afford it, but that she would even do it. I just thought, it really has to be a Santa Claus.
Are there any funny stories your family tells about you from when you were a child?
About me?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the funniest kid, really. I really can't think of any funny stories they tell about me. I can't. I mean, my brother John was he was very funny. He liked to play jokes on you. One day, I came home from school at lunchtime because we went home for lunch, and he said, "Oh, Kathy, I made spaghetti." And I said, "Oh, good." I mean, he was on leave from the Navy at the time, so he was old enough to know better. But he said to me, "I made spaghetti," and I don't know why I believed him. He's never made anything in his life. And I went and I opened the pan on the stove, the pot, and a bird flew out at me. And I was hysterical. I was totally, totally hysterical because there was a bird flying around our kitchen, and I didn't know what it was, and he's standing there laughing, and I'm like, oh, man, can't believe I fell for this. So a few minutes later, my youngest sister came in. He put the bird back in the pan, and I didn't say anything. And I let the whole thing replay with her. It was kind of mean of me.
Was it a wild bird or a pet bird?
The wild bird that he found in our enclosed front porch. I don't know how it got in there, but he found it there. And I don't know what made him think to do that, but he was just funny. He was really funny.
Are there any traditions that have been passed down in your family, like that we do?
We were not tradition-bound at all. My mother very, very rarely talked about anything that she had done in any time before, you know, she had us. I didn't even know she had life. They just didn't talk about their past. They didn't have any real traditions. No, we were not people who passed down tradition. My mother was not sentimental either about things, about objects and things. We never had, we never ate at home on a holiday. We were always at my grandmother's, one or the other. So we didn't really have a lot of traditions.
Can you tell me a story of how you met Dad? And do you remember when you realized you wanted to be together for good?
I met your father when I was hanging around with my friend Judy, and he was a friend of her brother's. So I kind of met him. We were younger, so you know, we didn't hang out together or anything like that, but I just kind of met him through her brother. And then she convinced me to get a job at the same place that she worked at the First National Stores after school, and he worked there too, so as did her brother. And so I just got to know him from work, and it caused a lot of problems between me and my friend. Because she liked him, and he liked me, and that was not a good thing. And she ended up not being my friend because she just couldn't accept the fact that he didn't like her. So we were together a lot. I mean, he would always help me when I was at work, and he's always jokes about it still, 50-something years later. He's still laughing about how if the manager called all help to the front, like say it was Thanksgiving or something, I worked in a grocery store, he would run to my cash register and bag for me. And he would be talking to me and laughing, and, you know, he asked me out and stuff. And I liked being with him. He was just fun. He was really a fun person and a smart person. So I don't know, we just kind of started hanging out together and we never stopped. We're still hanging out.
You never stopped because of his persistence.
He was very persistent. I remember breaking up with him about 5 times and he just wouldn't allow it. He would be, I'd have a big fight with him over a stupid thing and he would come right back to me the next day. Like it never happened. It was like, hey, want to go get pizza? And I'd be like, food? Sure. All is forgiven.
And he's still like that now.
He is still like that. He's the most non-confrontational person in the world.
Can you tell me the story of when you first saw me?
When I first saw you? You mean when I first delivered you and had you in the hospital?
Well, yeah. The first time you saw me.
I was thrilled to death. I did not know I was having a girl. I had already had a boy. I was hoping for a girl, but back in the dark ages, they didn't tell you if you were having a boy or a girl. They just didn't do that test on you. Maybe they didn't even have it. I was so happy. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I'm like, I have a girl. I have a girl. I wanted a girl so badly. And you were just the cutest baby in the world. And we were just on, we were over the moon because he wanted a girl too. And he had never said to me, even when we had our first one, he had never said whether he preferred a girl or a boy. He didn't care. He just didn't care. And then we had you, and I was so super happy. And you were such a good baby, and it was just the best. It was so fun.
What was the best thing about having a girl?
I could dress you up like a little doll, and you were just, I don't know, you were just so dainty and cute and just such a sweet little baby. And, and I had a boy, and he was cute too, but, I mean, he was tough, all boy, rough and tough, and he was kind of aggressive sometimes, and you were just sweet and happy, and you were such a good sleeper. Oh, God, I love that, because, my son was a nightmare trying to get him to sleep at night. So it was good. It was all good.
So I was the perfect child?
You were definitely, like, the perfect child. Definitely.
What were the hardest moments when I was growing up?
I think the hardest thing when you were growing up was that you had your father wrapped around your finger. And if I said no, he always said yes. And he would say to you, will you promise to be good for the rest of your life? And you would say, yes, Daddy. And he would just melt, and he would just do whatever you wanted. If he was around when I was trying to discipline you, forget it. Forget it. I was overruled big time.
Did you guys ever get into fights about that?
No, we didn't. Your father's not a fighter. No.
I meant, did you ever get mad at him for, like, undermining you when you were trying to discipline me?
Not so much when you were little. But as you got older and fresher and more independent, yeah, I would definitely be mad at him. And I would say things like, we have to be a united front because this girl is, capable of twisting you into anything she wants. And he knew it. He knew it. So we didn't have a lot of conflict over that. But, teenagers are harder. They're much harder. And it was a fine line between, the discipline thing and, but that's my baby. I don't want anything to, make my baby not happy. That's how it was.
And now he's like that with his grandchildren.
And he's like that exactly with his grandchildren. I do have to say that that's a good quality because he's certainly like that with me too. If it makes you happy, I'll do it. Whatever makes you happy. It's kind of embarrassing because I'm not like that.
Yeah. But I think that, I was thinking that that's one of the qualities that I sought out in my husband, too. Right?
Yeah.
Because I grew up with that.
Carbon copies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have someone you can model, like a prospective husband on. I didn't have anything to model. I didn't know. I was just lucky. I could have been married to a terrible abuser, but mm-hmm. it wasn't, because I didn't have a role model. So that was totally the luck of the draw.
What's your favorite memory of me?
Oh, I have so many. Oh, I think if I had to look back and say a favorite memory of you, it's I used to love to watch you play basketball. It was so fun to go to the auditorium and sit there with the other parents and watch you run up and down the basketball court. It was just heartwarming to me that my daughter really, really, really didn't know how to play basketball. Was out there trying her hardest. even though there was another woman in the stands who would say, "Oh, she's awful." And I'd be like, "She's my daughter. Give her a break."
Did it really look like I was trying?
It looked like you were trying to be friends with everybody on the team more than playing basketball. You were very polite. Oh, the ball should be thrown to me? Turns out, though, that it was a very funny memory, even though it was not happy. That was not a happy memory for me when I was sitting there listening to someone criticize you. That was not happy. But I have a lot of good memories about you.
What's your happiest memory overall?
About you?
No, like just in your life.
My happiest. That's a good one. My happiest memory would be. I mean, it's a combination of memories. It would be just that. I think I had fun. I had a lot of fun. With my young family, my little family. I mean, that encompasses many years.
You mean like me and Nick?
And your father?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked having my own little family.
Who has been the most influential person in your life?
Well, hands down, it was my mother. I mean, there's no competition there. She was the most influential person, definitely.
What did
no
she
one even comes close.
What did she teach you?
She taught me that you should be self-sufficient, that you shouldn't depend on anybody else. You should depend on yourself. Nothing in life is free. You have to earn it. She taught me to look at the lighter side of things because, trust me, when I say she had what I thought was the worst life ever, she could still laugh. She could still see humor in things. And I admire her for that because if I were her, I would be like, this isn't funny. I hate this. But that's not how she thought of her life, even though if you looked at her life and you saw what she had to do, you would say, that's the worst life ever. I remember going with my mother twice. She was trying to buy furniture, two different occasions. And her credit was really my father's credit, but once he died, she had no credit. And so she was trying to get credit. And she walked into the store and she would be negotiating with the salesman about something she wanted to buy. And they would give her a big hard time about, you know, she had no credit. And that was humiliating for her. That was really humiliating for her. Because she had a job before she got married. She was a secretary. She did the books when my father owned his own business. And then when he died, she had to figure out how to raise us on just a little bit of money every month. We did own our own home. And then she, as soon as my youngest sister went to school, kindergarten, she got a job. So she was not one of these people who didn't want to work or couldn't work or didn't have the skills to work. She did. It was humiliating for her to try to go and beg some young guy to try to give her some credit on her own. It was really hard for her. And she was strong enough to swallow her pride and you know, go back for more.
Do you think that people felt bad for her because her husband died so young and left her with a lot of kids?
People feeling bad for you doesn't really help you put food on the table. But yes, people did feel bad for us. We were a well-known family in Brighton because of that and because my father knew many, many, many people. I wasn't there, but I heard that his wake was, it was like a 3-day event, and it was just jam-packed because he knew everybody. And so they knew about us. And seriously, even like a couple of years ago, one of my closest friends said to me, and she had never said this to me before, she said, everyone knew who the Wrights were. Everyone in Brighton felt sorry for you. And I was like, what? That kind of hurt.
Do you think that Grammy didn't like her life?
I would have suspected that she didn't. I mean, it was a truly tragic and hard life for her. And I do remember one of our neighbors saying to her once, and I don't know why she was even at our house, but she was in our house. She was talking to my mother, and she said, Mrs. Wright, how come you never got remarried? And my mother started laughing hysterically. And she said, why would anybody want to marry somebody with 8 children? And she just started laughing. She thought that was the funniest thing she ever heard. But I don't know, what was the question?
If she liked her life.
My sister Jean asked her once, she said to her, you had the worst life, Ma. She said, you had the worst. My mother corrected her and said, no, I didn't. She said, I'm very proud of my life, and I didn't think it was the worst because I had a mission.
That's nice.
And Jean was surprised.
Other than Grammy, can you tell me about a person who has been kindest to you in your life?
Other than my mother, I would have to say I had 2 aunts, Aunt Lovie and Aunt Mary. And they were very, very kind to us. Not just me, but to all of us. But they were also just kind to me because they would do special things for individual siblings. And like Aunt Lovie would take me to downtown Boston and she would buy me clothes for Easter. My Aunt Mary would take us to the park and bring us out for ice cream every single night in the summer. And, I mean, that was nice to me, but it was nice to everybody. Or she would vacation with us when we were on the Cape, and she would just take one of you out to the raft that was in the middle of the beach, and she would just swim with you and play with you out there. And that was very kind. She didn't have to do that. I had some good aunts.
How many aunts did you have?
I had a lot of aunts, but a lot of them were married with their own families. My father's family had 7. My mother's family had 9. I had a lot of aunts.
Oh, wow. Did they all live near you?
No. Some of them lived on the North Shore. Some of them lived down the Cape. We didn't see some of them a lot because we had a car, but, you know, it was hard to squeeze 9 people into a car to go visit. And besides, who wants 9 people to come and visit them? You know? So, yeah, I didn't see some of them a lot, but we always saw, like, everybody on my mother's side all the time. Because my grandmother lived down the street, and they would come and visit their mother. So, and my grandparents only lived one town away. they would stop by all the time to say hi and bring us cookies. And my grandfather would bring my mother food sometimes, just because he would say, "Oh, I won the." He used to play. I forget what they call it, but he used to gamble. And, you know, it's like the corner store or something. It was illegal, of course, but he used to do it. And he would always say to my mother, whether this was true or not, he'd say, "Oh, I won the pool." And he would come in with bags of groceries or something. And every year, I mean, this isn't part of the question, but every year my grandfather, and not my grandmother, but my grandfather, took us to this place in Jamaica Plain to buy us shoes. We got shoes for school. And we got shoes for Easter. And I think that was a big deal. I mean, he was a retiree. That was a lot of money for, you know, 8 children twice a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget one Easter he let me, my mother didn't come with us for some reason. And he asked me what I wanted for Easter shoes, and I told him I wanted these yellow patent leather shoes. And he let me buy them because he didn't know. And when my mother saw them, she was like, "Oh, okay. Guess you can wear these for Easter."
Did they match your dress?
In the end, they did. I had a navy blue dress with white on it, and I had a navy blue checked hat, because we wore hats in those days on Easter, and I had a white coat. So yes. But that was the last time she didn't come.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, there is. I would have to say that I've had a good life. I think I've been very lucky. And even during a pandemic, I feel like I'm really lucky because I get to see my family. I'm not shut up somewhere in a nursing home. I'm not in Florida and I can't come and see my children or my grandchildren. So I think I'm very lucky.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I like these pants.
Thank you.
I love you.